listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The new Cleveland Browns draft picks are in. See them in action at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. 216-578-0850 the number to reach us. You can tweet us also at Browns_daily. But we have a full bank of calls. You like this topic. How much have the Browns, if at all, closed the gap between themselves and the rest of the AFC North? Let's get this started with John in Uniontown. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I love your guys' show. I wish it was 8 hours.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I don't know that our
wives or families
would appreciate that, but that's nice of you to say.
Nice of you to say.
It's not about you guys. It's
right.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's about
you know what? You hit that right on the head.
Yes, well said.
Nate, I've been following you since TFC.
I appreciate that. I appreciate
guys,
it.
But you guys do an awesome job. But I think the Browns have closed the gap big time, and I think it started with an owner that actually follows football, and then it really took a step up with Ray Farmer and Pettine. Because they've instilled something that Brown's been missing since they came back, and that's an identity and a philosophy of defense, running the ball, and you can see that they're drafting that way, and that's what they preach constantly is chew glass, be the toughest team out there, and that's what Pittsburgh has and Baltimore has, and we've missed that forever. And we finally have a foundation when they draft, we can add pieces to really help us take the steps we need to take.
No, I think those are all good comments. And, it's about toughness, and you need that in this division. That's kind of the hallmark and the staple of the Steelers and the Ravens, as you talked about. And having a foundation of legitimate talent. I think this really is one of the first times in a long time that you can say there is a lot of talent on this roster. And you start to hear that from a lot of people around the league. When you look at the roster, there's a lot of talent, and that allows you to plug a lot of those holes via free agency and, of course, in the draft. And I think there was clearly a commitment to a cultural shift via free agency in the draft, bringing in guys like Dansby and Whitner and Hawkins and of course Ben Tate and Nate Burleson, and then obviously on the defensive side of the ball, what you do in the draft by getting, you know, your top cover corner, by getting a coverage inside linebacker, two of the biggest needs for this team. It is a cultural shift, and it seems like they in their minds at least have a roadmap or a blueprint on how they want this to be executed and are following that plan.
Couple thoughts on this subject, and it is a great call on the part of the listener, maybe with the exception of the 8 hour thing.
And he's an old school TFC fan.
You gotta love him for that.
I do.
But in terms of his comments to Ray Farmer, to Mike Pettine, to their leadership, I think part of it is the way they presented their plan, what they put forth long before really you got into free agency and the draft. And it's not like they did any kind of sales campaign, but what they said was sensible and sound in terms of how they wanted to build this. And I think from the moment that Mike Pettine stood up there because his entry to this team a little very different than obviously Ray Farmer, who was promoted up from assistant GM, and most of what he was a part of was considered bad by the perspective of fans who just didn't trust who was in charge making all those decisions. I think what Mike and Ray have done is articulate a plan well, and then after that, the fact and the way that they stuck to it, the sense that it made, you weren't sitting there, at least the feedback I got, was not a lot in the way of head scratching. There wasn't that sense of really, how does this all piece together? I know there's been a lot of pushback on the receiver thing, but honestly, I think people have come to grips with that as well as they study this draft and the results of this draft more closely. I think they see the results. Mark in Massillon joins us right now. Hello, Mark.
Hello, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, I think this year the gap will be closed, but I don't see them maybe winning more than 6 or 7 games. But in 2 years, I believe they will be a major player, not in just the division, but the whole AFC, because the Broncos and the Patriots are sort of going to go away with their quarterbacks aging. And I think it's pretty much going to end up the Colts and the Browns in a couple years, 2-3 years.
Which certainly would be great. And you know what? Listen, do things happen overnight in the NFL? Not always, but they can. We saw it with Kansas City. The question is going to be how quickly and how good can the quarterback play get to the level the Browns needed. I think the defense is going to be there. I think the ability to run the football is going to be there. It's going to come down to can the quarterback of this team, Brian Hoyer or Johnny Manziel, can they make enough plays a game to get this team over the hump to win some games? It's going to be a fine line. I think the difference between this team being potentially, say, 7-9 and 9-7 is going to be literally two plays this whole season. I think that's kind of the range where I see them given what they've done. And depending on the outcome of the Josh Gordon thing, too, I think Josh Gordon's huge to this. With Josh Gordon and everything else here, I feel that the Browns are a legitimate playoff contender. Without Josh Gordon for a full season, I think that they would need to get a lot of things to fall their way and have some just dominant defensive performances and have better than expected quarterback play from Hoyer and Manziel.
I think either way, the timeline is more reflective of how this defense plays. I mean, I think it starts there. You if it's, as the caller suggested, as Mark brought up, a 2-year window, which is, I think, reasonable to think that that could be the case. But that only works if you see legit signs, true signs this year. It's got to show up in a major way in 2014 that the defense is everything that Mike Pettine wants it to be, that he believes it can be, that they've been building for, that those moves in free agency were directed toward.
It must be
the
good
draft. It must. There's no, this can't be, you know, we can't have questions about it. We can't be saying in the course of this coming season, when is Paul Kruger going to get a lot of sacks? When is Barkevious Mingo going to make a consistent impact? You can't have those questions. Everybody, those names plus existing, plus other existing names, plus new faces have to be prominent to that effort, or none of what else we say regarding quarterback or anything else is going to come into play.
And we can't be saying, when is this team going to figure out how to get off the field on third downs? I think one of the things last year is you had a situation where Ray Horton came in and we felt good about it. We felt energized. It's going to be attacking. It's going to be different. And what you saw was a couple of things. Number one, it took a long time to implement that defense. I remember Ray Horton telling us by about week 8, he thought he would finally have it all implemented. And players' heads were spinning. And that's when it went off the cliff, which is actually what happened the year before in Arizona as well. Joe Hayden was in here yesterday and said that they've got all the calls in. The calls are in.
Yes.
That's a phenomenally different situation for this defense than it was in last year when it was trying to play while learning. And I think that was an issue. There was maybe too much. This is being kept simple for these players. And if you go back and read the book, as I have urged all of you to do a bazillion times and will urge again, Collision Low Crossers, Mike Pettine in there makes it clear that you don't want guys thinking out there. Mm-mm. So it's better off to be simplistic and allow them to play faster than it is to be overly complex. And Jim O'Neill is from the same school in the book as well, so he knows that. And I think that's a major change. Joe Hayden said this is a much easier to digest system. And the offense is going to be easier to digest because Norv, and I love Norval like nobody's business. You probably love him more than I do, but that's saying a lot on your side of things, was a very complex offense. Yes. Greg Jennings, who has been in some great offenses in his day in Green Bay, said that there were more variations on one play than he had in his entire playbook when he was in Green Bay. So I think that we're seeing a situation where they're getting guys that can do what they want them to do. They're going to make it simple for them. They're going to get everybody on the same page early and allow them to play fast. And I think that ultimately is going to end up being a key. That's why I think Mike Pettine's defense in Buffalo in a short period of time got so much better, because he's putting players in positions to make plays, allowing them to do that without thinking. And that's what you need in the NFL.
Yeah.
Let the talent take over.
Yeah, that was part of the problem last year, talent. Lacking was another part of it.
Certainly.
Let's be honest and brutally honest about that. They had to get better at certain spots, and I think especially in the coverage linebacker area, I think that's where they've made playmaking additions, and I think that will show up as well. But, yeah, all those points are well taken about react more than think, do more than ponder, and I think those are the issues that this football team faced on both sides of the ball. But more than anything, it was – a talent play that had to be made, or talent additions that had to be made. And I think that we know where the majority of those have been brought about, and that's on the defensive side. Let's get to Dan in Lakewood, if he's still there with us. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, brother.
Hey, really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You know, the one thing I will say about last year is we were really in just about every single one of those games. And unfortunately, I think we're kind of lacking the perseverance to, you know, go all the way and finish out strong. So what I think they really did to address this, to close that gap this year, was to develop a unified vision, which started with our selections in free agency, which brought a winning experience spirit to the club. And this was further addressed in the draft. And I think that the play like a Brown mentality is something tangible, something that everybody can buy into. And finally, I think the big deal breaker here is going to be the addition of Manziel. I mean, if you look at that Chick-fil-A Bowl and you look, you know, they were getting stomped by Duke. And Manziel managed to not only rally his offense, but also bridge that gap and, like, rally his defense. He ultimately sealed the deal on that. And that in the future, maybe this year, maybe we'll have him running around like a cheerleader, pumping up our team. But in the future, I mean, that falls right in line with that vision. I think that's going to make all the difference in the world.
I agree with you. Culturally, there has been a change. There have been other changes, too. And one of those is philosophical in the sense that, what do you need to hold a lead? Once you have one, how do you win a game? You win it by being able to run the football, eat the clock, impose your will, and have a pass defense that doesn't allow teams to just throw the football and get back in games. Right. The Browns did not have a running game last year. They had a pass defense that gave up multiple passing touchdowns in every single game from week five on. They didn't have that either. They, in theory, right now should have both of those. The other thing, too, and I wonder if this has struck you, basically every player we've talked to says they have never worked harder at this point in the season and are in better condition at this point in the season than they've ever been maybe at any point in their careers. And if you look at the second halves last year, the Browns got destroyed in the second half. That clearly resonated with somebody here. These guys are going to be in the best shape that they've been in. And we've heard that from everybody.
Yeah, Paul Kruger came on our show at the golf tournament on Money the Foundation golf tournament and was saying just that. He says he's – and I could see he's a leaner guy, and he says, no, I've never been running or working harder. And remember, these guys are prescribed workout programs before they ever set foot in Berea, the ones who don't – the ones who don't live in Northeast Ohio are working on programs and that they either incorporate with their own personal trainers, whatever they're doing. But for the most part, you can count on players to be working all the time and on their own. And when you hear that almost to a man, it does strike you as being very interesting. And, you know, we thought last year because of, again, North Turner's offense, the emphasis on running by receivers, the longer routes you're going to have, and therefore there was a lot more, we thought, aerobic conditioning to that effect. But there are other elements to conditioning as well. I don't know if there's more brilliant science behind it this year, or guys are just more willing to work for it, or if they feel, I mean, there was a new coach last year who had their fate in their hands. Now there's a new one this year. They've seen all this change and turnover. Did that make guys any more urgent to do what they're doing? I don't know, and it's hard to really get into people's minds, but you're right. You said that, and I think the stamina thing matters. And just the last point about the caller, about finding that rah-rah mentality, I'll buy to a certain extent that helps, but in professional football, it's less about that and more about two things: being prepared better, having, you know, the coaching, having the understanding, the knowledge, the know-how to do the job and do it well, and the preparation during the week, and two, the talent. And I shouldn't have probably put talent second, but those usually trump the spirit thing you're talking about. And stamina, a very tangible, physical, the science of that matters too. It's, yes, you can get fired up and get passionate. It's an emotional game. We know all that. But I don't think that was what was really missing from the Browns. I think it was those other areas that fell short. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer is going to join us from cleveland.com. We'll get her thoughts on what's been transpiring with this football team, and want to hear from you as we go throughout the show. Again, 216-578-0850. We'll have time to get to your calls and your tweets at Browns_Daily. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci.
Indeed.
And this is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven. You know what we're driven by?
Liberty Ford.
That's right.
Oh.